What's up, guys? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast. This is a really special episode. We have the biggest group of people we've ever had on the podcast. If everybody wants to go around and introduce themselves.
I'm JJ Crable, and I'm the skeptic in the room.
Hey, guys, I'm Kat. I'm here, too.
Hi, my name's Johnny D.
Meredith.
Hey, I'm Devin. Devin Tully. I've been on this show before. You probably remember me.
Yeah. And I'm Stephanie.
What? You're just making names up, man.
Everyone else, introduce yourself.
There is no Steph.
I'm Steve.
My name is Uncle Johnny.
This is going to be confusing enough.
I had time off my dialysis to come down here and do this podcast.
And I'm your grandma's ghost.
Hi, it's me, Hunch. I'm leaving. Bye.
Hey, Noah.
So many of you may remember Devin from Devin's Demons. It's been our most downloaded episode by leaps and bounds.
Check it out.
So yeah, if you haven't listened, if you're one of the few or if you're a new listener, make sure you check out his two-part episode.
So no, let's go around and kind of get to know everyone. I think we have a few new stories we're going to hear, a few new perspectives. So Meredith, you want to start?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
So like to begin with, originally I was going to do this. I was going to tell you guys some of my stories and I realized, you know what? My whole house has kind of a spooky vibe to it.
Ooh, the one we're sitting in right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Thunder.
So like everyone who's lived here has had some experiences. And so I just thought we should all kind of tell stuff that we've gone through here. Thought it'd be kind of cool, especially because I think we live with kind of magical people. So
cool. Yeah. Well, before we dive into that, I like to ask our guest on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being you don't believe in ghosts at all, 10 being you believe in ghosts more than you believe in anything else.
Because it depends, right? I wouldn't say I'm exactly a skeptic. I'm a skeptic, I guess, is the better way to put it. But I would say that I think that there are memories in spaces. I think things hold on to memories. And I don't know if those are ghosts or not, but I do think they're real. I think we're connected in a way that the things that have happened to us affect us in the future and in the past. And all of those things are kind of blended in a wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey kind of way.
Okay. What about you, Johnny D?
I definitely believe in ghosts. I think it's stupid if people don't believe in ghosts, actually. And not to be like, I don't know. I don't think it's that weird to believe. But this is what's weird, because I believe that ghosts are ghosts, and they're ghosts because they're stuck in this world and they have to pass on. Like, I don't exactly believe in an afterlife, so that's what's really contradicting to me. Mm-hmm. But not everyone who dies, I think, is stuck here as a ghost.
Yeah.
So that's super weird to me, but I don't know. But yeah, I 100% believe in
that. Oh, that's interesting. So you believe 100% in ghosts, but you don't believe necessarily that they go from another plane from this planet.
Well, they have to, though, right?
Here.
Like, yeah. I don't exactly believe in, like, a heaven and hell. I don't think there's, like, you know, a hell. I don't think there's a heaven exactly. But there has to be something, right? Because ghosts are going somewhere. They're not staying here the whole time. But I don't know what that is. But they're definitely, ghosts are definitely real, for sure. For sure.
Cool. Dad?
Well, I personally don't really believing in anything 100%. Like, even like gravity, I like to say, is like a 99% for me.
Yeah. Do you believe that you don't believe in things 100%, 100%? You know what I mean? Like, do you 100% believe that you believe in things less than 100%?
<Great question. laughs> No, I mean, because like even that, like, I try not to believe in things 100%. So I don't believe that I don't believe in things 100%, because I know I rely on things. I know subconsciously, like, I believe in stuff. I just, my personal philosophy, I try to not believe in anything 100%.
Yeah.
But can you dunk a basketball?
100% I can dunk a basketball. I can absolutely dunk a basketball. Provided it's like at floor level. But I mean, you guys perhaps have heard some of my experiences. I've had some pretty concrete things happen to me, and I've also had things happen to me pretty regularly. So I'd say it's on the one of the higher scales of things I believe in. So I'd probably give it like an 8.5, with like, it would be a 9 if that it, all I have to do is recognize that there's something. To call them ghosts per se, mm-hmm. I think it defines them too much, and I don't quite know what they are. Yeah. And a lot of people call things ghosts that, like, you know, don't act the same. And I think there's a whole spectrum. So I try not to define it, because I feel like once you define something, you kind of like lock it into your like belief system and mm-hmm. the things that you think you know. Mm-hmm. So I try to keep a bit of an open
reframe
mind.
Everything yeah,
yeah.
in that.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah.
So.
Well, Kat, wait, what about you? Where are you on those?
Oh,
spectrum?
Yeah. Well, I feel like I used to be super religious. And so I feel like I was at 10 million in like spirits and like God and that kind of thing. At the beginning of this podcast, I'd probably be like, maybe at this 5 or 6, but now I feel like I'm a little bit less. Well, actually, wow, I'm super decisive. After our last podcast, I feel a little bit back at 5 or 6. So yeah, what about you, Noah?
I would say before the podcast, probably a 3, just because I did have an experience, but I don't really know how to quantify that experience because I was so young, even though other people saw the same ghost. Now, since we've heard all these stories, I would say probably a solid 5 or 6. I definitely lean more towards that there's something out there and people are experiencing it. If not, why do we have so many people that have stories, and why are there so many similarities to the stories we hear?
Yeah.
It's not like all these people are getting together and, you know, writing their stories before they come onto our podcast to make sure there's similarities. Or are they Devin?
Talk about your house, and you guys all live here, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So Devin, Johnny D, me, and our other roommate Cole, who is not here but has also had experiences, live here, and now our new tiny baby Ren. So it's it's not a very big house. I'm going to start there, but something to know about the house is built on the front lines of a civil war, the battle for Atlanta.
Wow.
This is like literally, if you look at the maps, this is exactly where the Battle of Atlanta happened. It's crazy. And then on top of that, this house was built in the 1920s. So it's about to reach its centennial.
Wow.
So it's kind of an older house for America. And it's also built on like pretty historic, bloody ground. And I don't know what any of that means, but it's stuff that Devin and I have discussed at length. So it's just a part of this.
Oh, she's the mother of my child, by the way.
Hello.
And my romantic partner for 7 years. Essentially my wife.
So for me living in this house, I've my hauntings before this, I don't know what's real and I don't know what's not, but I get night terrors, and that's the first place I'm going to start.
Okay.
For a long time, I would get them. When I started dating Devin, he noticed this thing following me. He would see this. Go ahead.
Well, I want to give someone else credit because I feel like this thing was hiding me from me for a while. I was first ticked off because her night terrors, she would just get them. But after a while, when we were together, she would start hitting me. Like she would
in my sleep,
them.
In my sleep, yeah, yeah. unconsciously hitting him in my sleep.
Yeah, definitely.
But the thing is, she would like look really angry at me, and like she'd even like hit me in the face sometimes.
Afraid.
And then she'd like wake up, still be kind of angry for a second. And then once she realized what she did, she'd feel really bad and stuff like that.
Oh my God, this is.
But a lot of people who were like I used to get those. I used to get like things in my sleep, but then I'd also see the same things in the daytime sometimes. And like, you know, there could be a psychological explanation for night terrors. I will totally accept that. And Meredith is a very anxious person. But cool. I also... I'm also an anxious person. I also noticed that a lot of people, specifically people who are targeted by what I like to call demons, which I don't know that they're necessarily called that. And a lot of things can be called that. Just let's say hostile entities tend to share that kind of night terror experience. You know what I mean? Like you just mentioned our mutual friend, Kyle, who sees like, maybe I don't want to tell his story, but he sees something very specific, like,
a really hairy chest.
Floating, not connected to anything.
Just like, just a torso of hair just coming toward them.
A voice that just says, lick it.
Oh, God, where are you?
Anyway, like, so I started to think that maybe something was after her. But like, why I started this whole diatribe is that she said that I thought someone thing was following her. I actually think something was hiding from me specifically, because our mutual friend Lauren, mm-hmm. who can take over from here, is the one that actually kind of pointed this out.
And they did like a ritual to kind of cleanse me of the connection to the demon.
Yeah,
which
Lauren.
Again, my experience is I would never have done anything like this or known about this by... I'm a physicist. I'm a scientist. I don't necessarily buy into a lot of this stuff. But I will say that after they did this, I stopped having night terrors wow. for periods of time. It came back a little later, but it would come back to me in periods of deep anxiety. But if Devin would do a ritual to get rid of what he thought was the demon, I actually started to feel better. Mm. So I can't say 100% because... you know, causality, who knows?
Yeah, but still feels a little placebo-y in your head.
100% could be. But it was interesting to see it happen.
Yeah. What does that ritual entail?
Well, it's a little bit of an improvised one. To me, a lot of this spiritual, a lot of these the spiritual stuff really just plays to what you can put your personal faith and energy into. You know what I mean? So like, for instance, like people who are deeply Catholic, their exorcists will work. Like there's also a ritual to get rid of something called jinn in India.
Is that Japanese? Okay.
Yeah. Jinn are what people sometimes call genie. You know what I mean? They're, I think, like another cultural name for like the same kind of thing, or something that can be the same kind of thing. The whole idea being that like if you can trap a djinn, then that they can make something happen for you or something like that.
Like genies?
That's what people call them now, but they're actually called djinn. But they'll do a ritual because they believe that djinn are attracted to empty spaces. If you have a place of like a house that has a lot of energy, people are living in it, and then all of a sudden that becomes a vacuum, like, or it's abandoned for a while.
Or like a lamp.
Or like a lamp.
A genie lamp.
What?
I don't know. but they have a ritual, like, you know, the Mayans and the shamanic practices of the Aztec, they have a ritual. Native Americans have a ritual for like clearing out hostile entities and stuff like that. But when we were talking to Lauren, she's like, something's connected to Meredith and it's hiding from you. And then I was like, wow, that makes so much sense. That's why she keeps hitting me in her sleep. And so I looked at her and I kind of like looked at her with new eyes. And in the window behind her, I could see this yellow mask. It looked literally like a mask with like no eyes. And it was just hovering in the window. But as soon as I looked at it, it flicked away.
And you've ever seen this?
I've never seen it.
I think it's just the way it appeared to me. And Lauren also said that she felt like it was connected to her family, like it was connected to her mother and specifically her grandfather, like who was, you know,
rough,
a rough guy. Yeah.
Rough guy.
So
you can also say Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny D, are you Italian?
I am Italian. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it sucks. Italians are, we're good looking though. Italians are really good looking.
Really beautiful.
But we're really, really, there's like...
It's the inbreeding.
Yeah, yeah. Like I was talking to someone and they're like, oh, Italians are really loud and annoying. It's like, no, we're just mentally disabled. Something wrong.
Listeners, we'll post a picture of Joni D. And if you think he's cute, you can email us at realhauntingspodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah,
if you don't
I'm single, we could talk about ghosts and get a bunch of spooky adventures leads. Can we do a spooky dating show? Or we can do it like a bachelor. Oh, about like a dating show game where we'll have like contestants and then, okay, I'm going.
But they can only be into like, it has to be like a spooky date.
And if they get scared
out of the date.
I'm 6'3".
He's so tall.
Italian stallion. That's for sure.
I think Meredith, sorry to cut back so
far. No, that was the end.
I think Meredith has a lot of intuitive energy. So like, I'm also completely adhered to the fact that like, you know, maybe these things affect psychological aspects of us, and to like just address it in a kind of concrete way, to like do a ritual, maybe like tells your brain, gives it the command to like let go of certain anxieties. Maybe that's it. And I will completely like accept that. But at the same time, I think Meredith is a very intuitive person. And a lot of times I think people who are very like energetic and like attached to these kind of things can use that same energy to either block stuff out or attract it to them. So when she's kind of gone through existential crises or stuff, I've noticed that she's like attracted things to her.
like the second time that you were about to mention.
Which time?
When we lived in Beltsville.
Oh, and the candle?
Well, you can tell.
Oh, I'm just like, anyway, yes, here it is. Yeah. So I had I had been teaching in Baltimore, and I had gotten really, really depressed after teaching. It was a really hard year for me, and I was in kind of recovery mode, but I had been going through kind of what Devin would describe as probably an existential crisis. I would describe it as an existential crisis. So I'd gotten to a really dark period, and I was alone at home. And I just kept falling deeper and deeper. And at one point, as I was sitting alone in the room, a candle was thrown across the room, and it shattered. Like it hit with such force that it shattered.
Was it in like a glass thing or just the wax itself?
Glass container.
And you were there by yourself.
I was there by myself. And I was like, okay, maybe it just fell or something. There was no way. Like I tried rationalizing it in any way I could, but I couldn't. This candle was thrown across the room and it shattered. Mm-hmm. And when Devin got home, I told him, and before I even told him, he could kind of feel it in the room. He was like, oh, when he came home, his shoulders came up and he looked anxious. And so I don't know. And he actually got rid of it again. And I started to lift out of the existential fog, which I had been in for months at that point.
Mm.
So I can't 100% say that that is, again, I can't 100% say, but I do feel like there's something to it. I do think that ritual, if you give something that kind of power, it affects the world. You know, you put energy into the world and it does something.
You ever be skeptical of something? Let's say like a skeptical of something in yourself, or maybe like a person. You're like, oh, this person's like not really an asshole. He's like a good guy, you know, whatever. And then like start thinking about it more. And the second you like, it's like from like How I Met Your Mother. The second you break that glass, you're like, oh shit, this is all I can like see and think about, and this is kind of like, it becomes real once you think about it, once you really say it. And I think it's the same with like ghosts and spirits and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like the more like there was stuff, I mean, we'll talk about it, you know, later, but there was stuff that happened today. There's stuff that happened yesterday in the house.
Yeah.
And even us, like I made a joke and I was like, it's gonna be a spooky night because this is bringing so much energy.
Oh my god, I so honestly,
tonight's gonna be probably,
I feel,
it's gonna be a spooky night.
Yeah,
I feel like a sudden change of energy just now, honestly.
Yeah.
And maybe they're barking at something else or turning and looking at something else, but I've instantly gone like this. I don't know what sense. I was spooked a second ago or what, but like
Shadowfax,
I feel different.
Sees no ghosts.
Shadowfax sees nothing.
Rangar sees ghosts, I think.
Yeah.
Rangar's
I think
more
Tower
intuitive.
Does too, right?
And Tower does.
Tower's a cat.
These are our pets we're talking about, and two dogs. One of the dogs has no intuition, and the other dog is.
Yeah, I have always suspected her of having no intuition, but then we took in a dog one time, and that in our old apartment, and that dog would look and bark at the same things that I would see, and I was like, okay, this dog can see stuff.
Yeah,
but Shadowfax never fades.
Again, I want to like derail. Actually, I should. But there was something that happened today that I was skeptical about. We'll finish your story and then we'll talk
about
it.
Yeah, let's work up to our house.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically that is the end of Beltsville though. I do feel like, go ahead, Devin.
I do have my side. When she came home, I was looking around for this thing and I felt icky, but I didn't see anything because I don't know, when I turn it on, I can kind of see a little bit. Until I went into the bathroom and I looked into the mirror and Meredith was standing behind me. But when I looked into the mirror, I could see standing behind her was this like gray, it looked like a huge man, but like way too big, like an 8-foot man that was like 4 feet wide. That was just like gray, just a gray silhouette, just standing behind her. I was like, oh, there it fucking is. And basically and this is a helpful thing. Like if you feel like something hostile is around you, like what I like to use, what's a good mantra, and you really like just put your belief into it. You say, are you of the light and are you here for my highest good? You say that 3 times. Sometimes if something's around you, you'll feel like a rush, like either like just the room will open up or you'll literally feel a wind. That's a good way to do it.
I thought it was going to be some kind of weird ghost cuck situation.
You just have to fuck his girlfriend.
Wait, so Meredith, you don't see the big gray man.
I've never seen that, but if I'm to transition us to everyone living here, so that would be, I would say before living in this house, that was one of my only experiences was the candle. That was it.
What about it, when your childhood house? Because I always, there was some creepy stuff there.
That house is, it's just, it's, everyone is very toxic. It's just a house for toxic people.
But that can affect the spirituality of the house.
It's true. Sure.
Right? Yeah, it could.
Yeah. Honestly, I will not get into it because it is a lot. But this house, when we moved into it, I have had more experiences in this house than I have ever had in my life.
And I'm nervous.
Well, and to add to that, when I got pregnant with Ren, which was about a year ago, because he's now 2 months.
And he's sitting right here with us.
He's sitting right here with us. He's being so
good.
Such a good baby. That now. I know, in like 5 minutes, he's going to start screaming.
This story to tell.
Ren, really? Wow. But we moved in, and right around the time I got pregnant, the energy and the activity increased as well. And it kind of increased until the baby was born, and then it sort of fell off a little. It fell off after he came home. He came home and it was very active when he came home. Mm-hmm. A lot of weird stuff was happening, and then it fell off again. So, for me, the first experience I had in this house was a little bit before Ren and, or pregnant with Ren. And I thought I was asleep. And I could have been, but I thought I saw something out of the corner of my eye, like a bunch of shadows on the right side of the sofa. And I thought I imagined it. So I went to bed. I walked all the way over to the bedroom, which is in the back of the house. And once I got into the back of the house, I laid down for about 5 minutes and I startled awake. I wasn't asleep. I was awake, but asleep. And I still can't know if this was a sleeping state or an awake state. But I looked up and I saw about 10 people, I would say, standing in front of me.
Were they like silhouettes?
They were a little clearer than silhouettes. I could tell like gender. I couldn't really see clothing or specific features, but it was like these like 10 very stationary. There was no movement. They weren't moving their hands or their faces or their bodies. They were just standing there. And this was in the back room where I sleep.
Wow.
I told Devin, and he said he felt something that day too.
What did you do when you saw these people in your house?
I was startled, but I went back to sleep.
I would go under the cover so fast.
Yeah. You turn on the light.
I would die then.
I didn't, because I actually, when I woke up / was asleep, awake, whatever that was, I knew they were ghosts. I knew they were ghosts. Like, I inherently saw them and went, oh, I can't do anything about this.
Yeah.
And then I fell asleep again.
Do you get sleep paralysis?
I don't get sleep paralysis.
Well, okay. So to be clear, I was researching this. If you go through an entire sleep cycle, you should hit REM, and then everyone goes into sleep paralysis. But it's when you wake up and have that in between, which is called night terror. So if I have my facts straight.
No, night terror is a little different because she moves when she has night terror.
Right. So, my night terror is, I actually, in Baltimore, I ran out into the street screaming.
Oh, my God. That was so fucking frightening.
he had to grab me at the door.
Yeah.
It was really bad because we lived in like not the best part of town. So I really shouldn't have really run outside. But yeah, no, night terrors, typically you don't remember them either. I couldn't actually tell you what any of my night terrors are about. No. I've never remembered one. You have the same thing, Jardy?
Sleep stuff.
So again, we'll do when we all go around, but my night terrors are, I don't remember anything about the dream thing. It's me waking up screaming about nothing. Because I have no idea why I'm screaming, and I haven't gotten them in years. There was a short, you know, and again, we'll get into all of it.
Italian high five.
Yeah. But I don't know why, but it's not like me and Meredith always do this thing where it's like, we'll experience something and we're like, oh, but it could have been this. It could have been this. Like, but like when something kind of really you know, like jogs you enough to really kind of think about, you're like, it's gotta be something. Like, I've had nightmares. We've all had nightmares. I've never had a nightmare where I like go up like perpendicular and just scream. Mm-hmm. Like just your like, it's crazy. It's so weird. It's so weird.
And yeah. I'm not a violent person.
Yeah.
I have in my sleep hit Devin. I know it. I've woken up doing it. And I'm like, what the hell is happening right now? Because I have no idea what I'm protecting myself from, because I know that's what it is.
Yeah.
My dreams are protecting me from something and I cannot put my finger on it. But to be fair, I also have not hit him in a very long time in my sleep. I'm on my best behavior.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's it. Not since we did that clearing have you hit me. I mean, she's had night terrors. But she hasn't hit me since that one night with Lauren.
And fewer night terrors too. Like, I'd say way, way fewer.
Yeah, way fewer. Yeah.
We had a recent guest on, Jess, who actually reminds me a lot of Devin with her experiences. They're very visual and a lot of them.
Yeah.
And she's open to seeing ghosts in a lot of places when she travels and stuff. But she has night terrors where she will sleepwalk and just like start yelling. Mm. And it freaks her roommates the fuck out. Yeah. And like when she was a kid, she would walk into her parents' room, get like right up to their face and just scream as loud as she could. That's crazy. So, I mean, that's one thing about this podcast that I didn't know we would learn about is all the sleep stuff. I expected the ghost supernatural stuff, but mm-hmm. I think a lot of us that are sensitive to this stuff also have weird, freaky sleep things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. My friend's wife, when she sleeps, it happens a lot when she's drunk. If she's drunk when she sleeps, she'll talk in her sleep, but she'll speak in tongues.
Oh, that's crazy.
Wow. Which is super creepy. It's not another language. It's not English. If you try to do what she's doing, you can't do it. Like, it's so crazy. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what that... I don't know what that means.
I recently had someone... It's a Harry Potter deep cut.
Okay. Does she handle snakes too in her sleep or just...
No, I don't know how...
Well, I recently had
only my friends. Bazinga! All right, sorry.
I recently had someone close to me say that she started talking... in tongues. I mean, she's very religious too, but she's like been praying about it for a year and all this stuff. And
she's been praying about talking in tongues.
Yeah, because some people see it as like a spiritual gift, but you know, it's the things that the disciples were able to do when they didn't practice it or something like that. Because I know everything about the Bible.
Man, where's JJ?
Yeah, where's that? Yeah. Anyways, and she said that other people that she knows, whether they're like ministers or just other people that have started that have that gift or whatever, all of their, I keep wanting to say parcel tongue, but I mean, what do I mean? Tongues. When they, all of it is different. All of it sounds different. So I'm like, are you just all in the same room, just going, you know, just like making up
shit? Wait, yeah, what do tongues sound like?
No. I don't want to do it again.
I think she went, wah,
wah, wah. Cool.
I think it's that liminal state, you know what I mean? That kind of in-between state between like you know, people go into trances when they go into parcel.
parcel.
But yeah, like a lot of people who like, you know, go into meditation, prayer, mm-hmm. magic users, people who like even experiment with like possession on purpose, mm-hmm. They're taken over, you know what I mean?
Well, and that actually is the second experience that I had in the house.
Yeah.
Was the person I saw outside the window again from our bedroom, and again from like what I would call a liminal state. And I don't normally see things, and I saw and this was detailed. This was actually a very detailed thing I saw. I saw a soldier in like Civil War uniform walking outside in our yard, which is how I then found out that we were on the battle front lines. I started doing research because I knew that the road we lived on is named McPherson.
Yeah. It's McPherson.
Oh, is it McPherson?
Yes, it's McPherson.
I'm so sorry.
Why are you so passionate about
Civil War buff here.
Okay. So JJ's from McPherson, Kansas. And so ever since I can remember, it's not McPherson, because there's like a Fort McPherson and there's like General McPherson who died during the war, during the battle.
Here. Here.
This is it?
Yeah.
The monument's up the street.
Oh my gosh.
That's what she was about to say.
This is so crazy.
So it is McPherson, you piece of crap.
No, it's McPherson. It's not because if you ever go to the Cyclorama, they'll talk about him and they say McPherson. Yeah. And if you look up at the town that's named after him,
I'll buy it. It's spelled McPherson. I can see that. Yeah. Thank you.
McPherson is more rad though.
I like the word fear in our street.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's because that's the street name too. Oh my God, my mind is blown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. So, but basically if you look at the lines, this is where the fight was. Everything was destroyed.
He died here?
Maybe not in this around house, this area. But around this area. And I don't think it was him, because what I saw was a Confederate. I saw a Confederate
okay,
soldier.
So that wasn't him.
Yeah. No. But he was, and I didn't even see his face. I just saw him walking away, and that was it. Again, liminal state, could have been sleepy. Who knows what that was? But I don't say I've seen stuff unless I've seen stuff, because Devin has seen so many things.
And I'll accept that. Like,
up until a point, I had never seen anything.
Pretty normal for me. Like, and the thing is, like, you know, I've seen things in this house. I see things in other people's houses. I don't really bring it up until I see the same thing a bunch of times. Or people start saying like, oh, I saw something. Like in this house, I see this one guy. I like to call him 90s guy. I haven't seen him in a bit, but he's always like in 90s clothes, kind of like a little bit like I'm dressed now.
I love that, because I've had people be like, I don't believe in ghosts, because you never hear about current ghosts. They're always from the 1800s. But it's cool to hear that a guy from the 90s is hanging around.
But that's it. I just wanted to cut in to say I don't like, you know, I don't like go to Meredith and be like, there's this stuff. Like, I really like keep most of it to myself until other people like start seeing stuff. And then, you know, I see if I compare notes and stuff like that.
Have you guys ever, there's a website you can go to and see who's all died in your house. Have you guys?
Really? Oh, that's awesome.
What is it? I'll do it now.
I know it exists. It may cost money, but if it's not much, I might be willing to do it for this house, because I would be curious. I at least want to know who 90s guy was. Like,
sometimes I think, and that's why my idea about Meredith's dream is like, Meredith's very intuitive, whether she knows it or not, because she attracts things to her for better or worse. Johnny D is very intuitive. Cole is very intuitive. I'm very intuitive. If you stick enough people like that into a place, it just starts attracting things, which is why when she got pregnant with like Ren, and right when Ren was born, like things just started going off.
What's up, everybody? This is Noah Daniels. You just listened to part one of the episode we recorded at Meredith and Devin's haunted house. It was a really crazy episode. Make sure you tune in next Monday, as you'll hear part two of this episode. Pretty crazy, guys. We have an actual supernatural occurrence on the episode. Until then, keep it spooky. Ooh.